Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
It's so good to be with you tonight. I actually just want to continue with where we've left off in our time of worship. And I do believe that tonight God wants to give us something in our hands that will just take us to a new place in worship. Come on, is there anybody that wants to worship Jesus tonight? So welcome to all of you. It's so good to have you here. I see some familiar faces. I see some new faces. And it's good to see all of you. Just a warm welcome to our online community as well. All our Facebook friends, all our YouTube friends. It's so good to have you online as well. How incredibly awesome to know that there's people around the world that is currently tuned in. They're experiencing the same service and presence of God that we are experiencing. Come on, isn't that awesome? I want to speak to you tonight about worship. And I want to speak to you about what I believe is one of the greatest keys to understanding worship and living from a place of worship. I'm not sure if there's anybody that's excited to hear something from the Word of the Lord tonight. If you're watching online and you're excited about the Word of the Lord, won't you invite somebody? Like we say, invite somebody to church. Tag a friend, share the stream. If you're sitting in church tonight and you couldn't bring a friend in your car, just invite one on your phone, your tablet. Just say, hey, God's going to do something awesome tonight, because I really believe that He is. I want to, maybe if I can ask if we can take the keyboard just a bit down on the front monitors. That'll be awesome. Thanks so much. I want to speak out of Exodus chapter number 17 tonight. And I'm going to read it in a moment, but to give you a bit of an overview, Exodus chapter number 17 is this well-known scripture where we see the Israelites in battle with the Amalekites. And you've probably heard the story before. Moses goes up on a hill and he stands there with Aaron and Hur next to him. And as long as Moses' hands is in the air, the Israelites are winning down in the valley. And as his hands grow tired, they start losing the battle. And we see this incredible story of two men positioned next to him that lifts up his hand. And as his hands are lifted high to heaven, the Israelites conquer. And Moses builds this altar before God. And he says, the Lord is my banner. Come on, won't you? It's going to be a good night tonight. Won't you look at your neighbor, just any neighbor, and say, neighbor. Now, some of you didn't even look at a neighbor. I'm thinking your poor neighbor, he or she's like thinking, just look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, the Lord is my banner. If you're watching online and you've got a neighbor in your house or your car, say, neighbor, the Lord is my banner. I believe this scripture gives us a beautiful picture of worship. And I trust as I read through it that God will illuminate something in your heart. And honestly, what I believe the Lord wants us to do is out of this time that we just look at His Word, and I really want to keep it as short as possible, that we would just fall back into a time of worship. Because I believe the most powerful ministry takes place when God ministers to you Himself. And I really want to believe that in this evening, God will minister to every single one of you in a powerful way. That God will deposit something in you that you would go home tonight, hands lifted high, seeing victory in every area of your life. Come on, is there anybody? Amen. So allow me to read the scripture. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It'll be on your screens. And for those of you watching online, it'll be on your screen as well. So while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Maybe a bit of context. They've just journeyed out of the land of Egypt. They've just gone through the Red Sea. They've seen God do incredible things. And they find themselves, just verses before this, they find themselves at a place where they've got nothing to drink. They murmur, they moan. and God provides water from a rock. They see this incredible miracle. Can you imagine that God pours forth water from a rock in the middle of a desert? Can you imagine the sense of celebration, the sense of thankfulness? Can you imagine the worship that lifted in that camp? Come on, I'm not talking about worship that they sang about four songs in the key of, I don't even know what key. I'm not going to even try and sound clever. But it wasn't that, I'm sure they didn't just sing these well-prepared songs. I think in that moment when water burst forth from that rock, I think that whole Israel nation just lifted their hands and said, God, we glorify you. God, we give you praise. God, thank you for being so kind. Sometimes we think that worship is something that we do in church. It's what you do when you listen to Bethel or Hillsong or some other song in your car. But worship is a response to the beauty of what He reveals. In that moment, God revealed Himself as a God that provides even water in a desert. And their response, I'm sure, was one of worship. In that place of worship, in that place of thankfulness, we see the Amalekites coming up against the Israelites. And as I read this, something dawned on me that we don't have control over the enemies that we face in life. I'm just going to try this out. I'm not sure if I'm speaking to the right church tonight. I'm not sure if you've ever been in seasons of your life where you find yourselves in these incredible moments only to be attacked by whatever enemy, hours, days, moments late in your life. Is there anybody online tonight or in the house that say you've experienced the enemy coming up against you out of nowhere? Sometimes in the midst of incredible seasons, all of a sudden we have the enemy come up against us. And in reality, many enemies that come against us, we don't have control over. We've been given the victory over them. But we don't always have control over the attacks that come against us. There's about 9 of you that's experienced some attack in your life. I don't know about you, but I've had many times in my life where I would experience certain onslaughts against my life. Sometimes it comes in the most unusual times and ways in our lives. Might be a financial onslaught. All of a sudden, you've lost your job. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe all of a sudden, you're battling sickness in your body. I'm not sure if I'm speaking to the right people. Have you ever experienced some onslaught of the enemy in your life? I think this week for us as a church has been a week where I think we felt like that in a sense. It's like we feel that there's been this thing that has happened that we didn't have control over. We didn't have all the answers for. And we find ourselves battling at times. Whether we're battling emotions, sickness, people, challenges, just the issues of life at times. And in this moment, I want to remind all of us that though we haven't got control over every onslaught that we face, there's one thing that we've got control over, and that's our worship. It's one thing that the enemy can't take from you, and that's your worship. That's the one thing the enemy wanted. That's what Lucifer wanted. He wanted worship. And it's the one thing that God has given us as His people, as His sons and daughters, the ability to give to Him freely. You have a decision whether you want to worship God or not. But we sang these songs earlier. Within us, there's this burning desire to worship God. Isn't it so? It's like God has given us this desire to want to worship Him. But we make a decision if we will. But the one thing that the enemy can't take from us, the one thing that we can do in every season of our lives, is to give God praise. And maybe you're experiencing some challenging situations in your life right now. And I want to remind you tonight that you've got power over your praise. There's power in praise, but you've got power over your praise. Because you can lift up the name of Jesus and glorify Him in any given moment of your life. So Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men and go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Just a short disclaimer there. Moses said, choose some men and go and fight. If I was Moses, I would be like, get all the men together. Anyway, that's just me. That's how I read my Bible. And then Moses said, for tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand. sounds like he's planning a getaway. He's like, you guys fight, I'll go to the hill. I'll stand there, I've got the staff, don't worry. It's about 3 of you that found that funny. Okay. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded him, and he fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. And as long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. Oh, there's so much in there. There's like 10 sermons in that one sentence right there. As long as he held up that staff. Who gave him that staff? God did. As long as he held up the promises of God in his hand. As long as he looked up to the power that God has given to him, as long as we continue to keep our eyes on the power that we have been given by God, they were having an advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Verse 12. So Moses' arms soon became so tired that he could no longer hold them up. Have you ever been there in your life? I don't want to preach a sermon at you tonight. Is that all right? I just want to read a scripture and share some thoughts and then just trust that God would come in His incredible beauty and strength. And whoever you might be, whether you're in the building tonight or online, if you find yourself in a season in your life where your hands feel tired, that you will experience that supernatural grace of God that just lifts you up tonight. It's been incredible for me to see just in the last couple of days how people have, in prayer and support and love, just held up the hands of our senior pastors over the last couple of days. I think Pastor Gilbert and Pastor Shannon and their family have gone through a very difficult time. Though there's so much to celebrate in the graduation of Pastor Carl, it's a time of mourning because he made a massive imprint in all of our lives. I think everybody in this room most probably can stand up and share some testimony of something that Pastor Carl did that impacted your life tremendously. He changed mine in many ways. And I can imagine in this week that as a family, their hands felt weak. I've gone through times in this year where I felt like that. Maybe you feel like that right now. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God is strengthening you and will strengthen you in supernatural ways. And I believe He's going to do it tonight. I believe He's going to do it tonight. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Oh, I wish I had time just to climb into that. The Rock of Ages. Pastor John Raybert spoke about that. He mentioned it in his sermon this morning. Jesus being the Rock of Ages, the steadfast one, the immovable one. They moved the stone and they set it underneath Moses. And Moses sat on the stone. I wonder if I've got a chair yet. No, I haven't. Can I? Maybe that chair in the pastor's up. Can we do that? Is that okay if we just get a chair? It's not because my legs are tired. I just feel like I want to illustrate something tonight. So they found this rock and they placed it underneath Moses and he sat on it. And then Aaron and Hur came from both sides and they held up the hands of Moses. Thank you so much, Pastor Stephen. Bless you. So good. I think there's so much significance in the scripture. I think I would do it injustice to try and preach into all of that tonight. Because I can say so many things about Jesus being our rock, the steadfast, immovable one that we can lean on. I think this picture also gives us a picture of rest. Currently, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's in a place of rest. Jesus Himself says, I want you to enter into that place. Matthew 11, he said, if you feel tired, weary, come, I'll give you rest. The writer of Hebrews chapter number 4 says, I want you to enter into this kind of a place. It's incredible how often we find ourselves in moments of our lives where our hands are just weary and tired and heavy. And I think it's impossible for us not to be there at times in our lives. I think we all find ourselves at moments where we feel like these areas of our lives that just weighs us down. I believe tonight Jesus wants to remind us that we can lean into Him, the Rock of Ages, And that we can enter a place of rest where we sit in His goodness. Where we sit in His promises. And even if the things that we're facing does not make sense, that we can still sit in the goodness of God. Because He is good in every season. I think Moses was experiencing something on that hill that maybe at first the Israelites down in the valley was not. I believe there was an incredible sense of God's presence there on that hill while the enemy was battling down below, fighting the Israelites. And we see that at the moment that Aaron and Hur just lifted the hands of Moses again, the battle turned. And they started having the victory again. If we look at Aaron and Hur, and I don't want to actually waste time on that, but it gives us such a beautiful picture. Two men and what they represent. The one represents ministry to God. The other represents ministry to people. And that's what Jesus says. Love God, love people. That's the gospel. And if you do a bit of study, you'll see that that's what those two men represented. It's ministry to God. Aaron, he was the priest. Ministry to man. That's what Hur represents there. If you look at the lineage, where he comes from, and don't want to get into that now. And they lifted his hands. As I read this story again this week, I was reminded that sometimes my worship strengthens others. And sometimes the worship of others strengthens me. Sometimes my worship has the ability to strengthen others. As long as Moses lifted his hands, they were winning. But he also became tired. And then they needed to lift his hands so that they could win. Sometimes my worship to God, sometimes my praise, sometimes the tenacity that I have to say, God, I will not let my hands down, positions others for breakthrough in their lives. You might have worshipped tonight in a way that encouraged somebody next to you to find strength in the Lord their God again. I can be honest with you that there's been many times in my life where I've been in services like this where I've not felt to worship God. And every time I needed to remind myself that worship is not about me. Can't leave church and say, oh, the worship wasn't that nice, because the worship wasn't for you. I didn't like what he did with it. It doesn't matter what he did with his guitar or his drums. It's not for you. It's for God. We were. We worship for an audience of one. And the people on stage, incredible worshipers and musicians, all they do is they just help us. They lead us. But our worship is directed to one, and that's to God. And maybe in this evening you need to be reminded, not just of the power of worship, but the power that's released when you actually worship. I've had many times in my life where I didn't have the strength to sing. And I would just allow others to sing over me. Isn't that what we do when we put in our iPods or our earphones and we listen to worshipers? Sometimes we just draw strength from them. But my worship and the way that I can uplift others in worship, not that I'm worshiping to them, I'm just strengthening them in their worship. Sometimes the victories that is seen through that goes much further than one person being strengthened and uplifted and encouraged. Sometimes there's battles that's conquered and won because of our absolute commitment, passion towards worship. I think we find ourselves in a time currently where worship is absolutely needed. It's about 9 of you. I'm not sure if I'm speaking to the right church tonight. I believe one of the revivals that we will see in our generation now, currently, is a revival of worship. I'll preach to Pastor Stefan and Milani. I hear them just a revival of worship. It was so awesome this morning. I spoke to Pastor John Raybert after the services that he was leading this morning. And he said, Yerick, you know, it's incredible that actually one of the key things that the enemy stole during lockdown is worship. Thousands of people that gathered weekly to worship God corporately were not gathering anymore. It's like there was a sound in heaven that was not heard anymore. Not as loud as what it was. And that's why in this time, I believe we will see a release of worship that we've never seen before. If you've been looking at some of the things that's been happening around the world, you'll see that there's been incredible moves of God that's busy taking place. People that have just taken worship to the streets. And we have seen this outbreak of revival. It's incredible if I look at guys like Sean Foyt in America. I mean, they go to worship in a city and they end up saving people, baptizing people in the ocean, people being healed, set free. I think we sang about it earlier, Lord, your presence is an open door. It's like when we, the Bible says, I think it's Psalm 22 verse 3, that God inhabits the praises of his people. So when I give myself in worship, God's presence comes. And that presence becomes a door for what God can do in and through the lives of people. Oh, it gets me excited. I'm not sure if I'm speaking to the right people tonight. Incredible power that's found in worship. Something that God wants to release in worship. Maybe there's people that's here tonight that feel like I don't have the strength to lift my arms. Maybe there's others here tonight that says, well, I can be the one that lifts them with you. I believe that's the revival of worship. It's when we come together and we encourage one another to give him all the glory that he deserves. Then they stood on each of his side, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. It's incredible when you look at that word steady, it actually means faithful. That his hands was held faithful until sunset. I believe there's a faithfulness in worship that's desired from us. I believe worship has never been an option for the believer. Because we all said amen earlier when I said that there's desire within us. It's like our heart burns within us. We've been made to worship God. Do you know that? We've been made to worship God. We've not been made to tend God's garden. We've not been made to look after the animals. We've not been made just to have life. We've been made to worship God. That's what we will do for all eternity. We will worship Him. That's our core design. That's what it's all about. It's to worship God. Interesting, when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, that's what he said to Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, God says, let his people go that they might worship him. It's not that they might go and own some land. It's not that they might go and see the miracle working power of God. No, let them go so that they may go and worship him. It's my prayer that there will be an outbreak of worship in our hearts tonight. Not how loud we sing our songs, not even the clarity of our sound as we sing our songs, not the way in which the worship leader performs as they lead a song, but the posture of our hearts as we give God that song. I want to trust God for that. That there will be an outbreak of worship in our hearts and in our coming together as a church. As a result, Joshua, overwhelmed by the army, my apologies, as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder. Look at your neighbor, say, permanent reminder. Just look at your other neighbor, say, permanent reminder. Some of you are not saying anything. Everybody online, say that to the guy in your car, in your house. Say, it's a permanent reminder. Write this down as a permanent reminder and read it out aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Listen to this, verse 15. I'm closing in scripture. Moses built an altar that gives us the symbolic picture of worship. He built this altar and he named it Yahweh Nissi. Some translations say Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. I feel like I haven't even given you the truth of what that means and you're clapping already. It feels like I'm at the right church all of a sudden. The Lord, my banner. The word banner there, it's got a couple of meanings. Standard, rally point, refuge, a pole, a fortress, a flag. But what I enjoy most of all the different meanings is the meaning that says, the Lord, my dwelling place. The Lord, my dwelling place. Oh, this is where it becomes beautiful. I want to illustrate this by using a picture. Back in history, a king or a queen would have more than one residence. Okay. It's a revelation. And if they were at a specific residence in whatever town or city, they would put up a sign at the gate that says the king is present. If he would move to another residence for whatever reason, whenever he's in that house or that castle, they would put up a sign at the gate that says the king or the queen is present. That was called a banner. What this word means is the Lord my banner means my dwelling place. The Lord is present. So catch this with me. As Moses was standing on that mountain, I think every time the Israelites looked up, there was this declaration saying, the Lord is present. I think that's why they won every time that he lifted his hands, because that sense of the presence of God was what gave them the victory in battle. I think the same thing holds for you and I. I believe that God wants our lives to become permanent reminders, banners to the world out there that says the Lord is present. Every time we worship, every time we praise, we make a declaration to the heavenlies to say that God is present. I want to ask you a question. If you find yourself in a difficult season of your life, and that difficulty that you're going through steals your worship, it means that the enemy has stolen from you the ability to declare in that area of your life that God is still present. I believe there's people that need to declare, the Lord is present over my marriage. The Lord is present over my finances. The Lord is present over the fact that I'm looking for a job and I can't find one. The Lord is present over the sickness in my body. The Lord is present in every area of my life. I believe that in this time, there needs to be a declaration that goes out to say, the Lord is present. I think that's what makes worship so powerful. As we come together as a church, it's we can declare, Psalm 22 verse 3, that God inhabits our praises. Whenever we worship Him, whenever we give Him praise, the Lord is present. I want to close, maybe worship team, if you can join us, with this thought. I sat this afternoon before the Lord and I asked the Lord, Lord, what does worship mean? I wonder if I had to call some people to the front to put the mic in your hand tonight, what would your response be? I'd love to hear from some of our worshipers in church. What is your definition of worship? I've read enough quotes and definitions and look at enough theologians and people giving their opinion on what worship is and the root word of the word worship and the dictionary definition of the word worship. But what does worship mean to you? If I say that our worship is a declaration into the heavenlies that God becomes present, that every time we do that, there's this release. There's this power that's being displayed and released into the atmosphere to say that God is here, God is with us. How would you define worship? It's incredible the strength that's found in worship. Interesting that when they were fighting the Amalekites just days after they left Egypt, they needed Moses to remind them of the power of God's presence and the power of worship in their battle. We see years later, as they entered the promised land, it was through worship that they conquered the city of Jericho. It's incredible how, if we understand the power of our worship, how we can go to a place where we actually see worship as a weapon. I'm not sure if I'm speaking to the right people. I can tell you now, Cornei Orkus can play their drums in a way that it will sound like a weapon in the spirit. You don't believe me? He'll show you later. Worship can become a weapon. Worship becomes a declaration. Worship is so, there's so much found in worship. Sometimes worship means surrender. When you look at the word worship, there's a word that's found in there, the word worth. I think it's when we find the worth of God in every situation of our lives that we actually see the power of worship. Honestly, I don't know where you are. You might be at a place where you're feeling you're not making it. You're not winning. Then maybe what you need tonight is to surrender. That's done in worship. Maybe you're facing a giant, a city, a fortress in your life currently. And what you need is to be reminded tonight that worship can be a weapon as well. Maybe at a place tonight where you have seen the goodness of God in so many ways in your life, and worship to you tonight is just a declaration of love. It's the ability that you have to just love Jesus and sing that over and over to Him. Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. Honestly, I sat this afternoon and I thought to myself, what does worship mean to me? And here's how I would describe worship currently where I am in my life. I won't describe it using words. I'll just describe it using a posture of my body. I believe worship to me is exactly what we've read in the text tonight. Worship to me means this. And as I sat there tonight, stood there while we were worshiping, it so reminded me of the very posture that Jesus had on the cross. For me, that's worship. Let me explain it practically. I've had times in my life where I feel like, God help me, I'm not winning as being the best father that I want to be. And I would sit next to the beds of my children and pray for them at night, or just sit with God and cry out to Him. And honestly, there's times where I don't know what to pray. There's times where I don't know what to say. And I can't tell you how many times I've been next to those beds and I've just lifted my hands and I've just said, God, I ask that You would help me. I believe in that moment, that's worship. I believe there's times where we all go through challenging situations and you find yourself in brokenness or in despair, and in those moments you can just lift your hands, and that's worship. The point I want to make is that worship is not a definition. It's not something that we say. It's something that we live. It's a posture of our hearts more than what it is just the posture of our bodies. Many people can stand in church, lift their hands, but it's just the posture of their bodies. I believe it's a posture in our hearts where we surrender to God, where we say, God, in this area of my life, I worship You. God, in this area of my life, I surrender to You. God, in this area of my life, I call on Your strength. God, in this area of my life, I need You. And I don't know where you are at currently in your life, but I do believe that worship holds the key to our breakthrough. And maybe you're facing a situation in your life like the Israelites, where they're battling down in the valley. Maybe this is a time where you just need to lift your hands in worship and say, God, I ask that You would give me strength in whatever I'm facing right now. Maybe there's other people in your life that you need to worship over tonight and say, God, I worship on their behalf tonight. I lift my hands on their behalf, Lord. Maybe you need to worship over your problems in this evening. Maybe all you need to do is just surrender. I want us to worship tonight. I've actually spoken longer than what I would want to. I've asked our worship team tonight to come as unprepared as what they can come. And I asked this to them 10 minutes before our service started, because I don't want us to go into a set list of songs now. I don't want us to sing 3 songs and then I wrap up the service. That's not the goal here. I want to ask Lord Holy Spirit, come and use these incredible people to lead us into a time of worship where every single one of us, whether you're watching online or in the building, where every single one of us can connect with God. Where every single one of us can have that moment where we can lift our hands, whether it's the posture of your heart or the posture of your body, it doesn't matter. But where you can lift your hands and see God establish a victory in your life. I honestly believe that there's people here tonight that's facing incredibly difficult situation. And just because you would lift your hands and lift your heart to God tonight and give Him praise, you will see how God establishes a victory on your behalf. I want to ask everybody watching online, if there's somebody in your life that's currently facing a battle, that's currently facing a challenging situation, somebody that you know, it feels like they're fighting an army of Amalekites. If there's somebody in your life, whether they are a believer or not, share the stream with them. Tag them. Say, listen, you've got to listen to this. And even if it's just the next couple of minutes that we'll be worshiping that they can engage in, I believe it will bring great breakthrough in the lives of people. If you're sitting here tonight and you say, there's somebody that I know that's facing an incredibly difficult situation, and I know that worship, that's their surrender to God will bring a breakthrough in their life. Share this with them. Say, listen, I believe that there's power in this message. Not because of the person that preached it, not because of anything else, but the power that's found in worship. When we are able and willing to just lift our hands and say, God, I give you praise. I want to ask you tonight, whether you're in your house, whether you're in your car, whether you're in this place, I beg of you in the next couple of minutes as we just make time to meet with God, don't sing songs. I beg you to, in this moment, just let go completely and worship as truthfully and as honestly as what you ever had in your life. Don't lift your hands because everybody else is lifting them. Don't do anything out of mere religion or duty, or maybe I should do that. Just I beg of you in this moment, whether you lie on the floor, whether you kneel down, whether you stand, it doesn't matter. Even if you're at your home, whether you want to lie on your carpet or just stand up and lift your hands, it doesn't matter. But I ask that you would take the next couple of minutes and just surrender completely to God. I believe in the next couple of moments that God can come in and do an incredible work in every person's heart, in every person's life, whether you're here or online, it doesn't matter. And if you would just allow God to come, if you would allow God to just come and let His presence fill your life in this moment, I believe anything becomes possible. I believe God can whisper things in your ear in the next couple of minutes that will change your life forever. I believe there you can sit here tonight with incredible pain or challenge or heartache or things that has happened in your life or in your past, and God can come and heal you in a moment. I believe God can come and God can set you free of all forms of bitterness or unforgiveness. I believe in this moment you can find yourself in a desperate situation in your life and God can come in and change everything in a moment. That's the God we serve. That's the God. He is able and He is willing. And I ask of you in this moment that you would just give yourself completely to God in worship, that you would surrender as Moses just stood there and lifted his hands. Doesn't matter if you lift your hands or not, but that you would lift your heart and your life to God in this moment and allow Him to minister to you. Let His presence fill your temple in this moment. So Father, I pray in this moment, Lord, that you would come, that you would fill this room. Holy Spirit, that you would fill every heart. If you want to stand, stand. If you want to kneel, kneel. If you want to lie down, it doesn't matter. Take the next couple of moments and just surrender to God. God, come and meet with every single person in this night, whether online, whether in this place. Lord, come and do what only you can do. God, we give ourselves to you in surrender in this night. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm not afraid of the dark.
Impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.